Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome each one to the service. It's a privilege to be gathered together like this morning. Young people, I wanted to thank you especially for coming up front and singing this morning, for getting up a little extra early and coming up a little extra early and sharing that with us. Thank you very much. That was a tremendous blessing. There's an interesting, at least it is to me, study in the Bible, looking at all the different animals that God used in the Bible. Think about all the different kinds of animals that God used in some very creative ways. The title of my devotional this morning is A Fish God Used. What story do you think that's going to be about? Jonah. Okay. That is the fish that God used. Well, actually, this one is going to be about a different fish that God used. That's kind of the big fish story of the Bible, is the fish that swallowed Jonah. And that was a much bigger fish than the fish that I'm going to talk about. This was another live fish. It also had something in it that God had placed there. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. It's a short little story. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him. Means he stopped him. So he was going into the house, Jesus said, "Whoa." Let's have this conversation. "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee." What a strange little story. Why did Jesus use a fish for this money? What was the what was the point? Why was Jesus even interested in paying this tax? Well, this tax is understood to be the temple tax, not the Roman tax, that was used in other places, but a tax in the temple, and that was a half shekel per person. So this one piece of money, one shekel, was just enough for Peter and for Jesus. This story is interesting to me in that I see Peter doing something that seems kind of normal for him at this period of his life. And that is, he says kind of the first thing that comes to his mind that he thinks is going to get him out of a tight spot. And we see this happening, in various places. When people confront Peter with something, he says what he thinks whatever thing it is that he thinks is going to get him out of trouble here. But it kind of got him into a little bit of a scolding with Jesus, where he said, why did you say that? Why do you think that this is necessary? And then Jesus sent him on a very unique errand here. Why is this story included in the Gospels? Especially when, as John says in John chapter 1, verse 25, there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So many things that Jesus did that we couldn't even write about it all. Why write about this little seemingly insignificant story? Well, I think there's some good lessons to be drawn from this story and some good reasons why it's included here. A little bit of a background here, thinking of this tax, the difference between the temple tax and the Roman tax. This temple tax was first established by Moses in the wilderness as they were building the tabernacle. They were gathering materials together to build the tabernacle. And almost everything that was given for the building of the tabernacle was given by free will offering. If you could give more, you gave more. If you couldn't give as much, you gave what you could give. But this half shekel was an exception. With this, everyone gave the same amount. I'm just going to turn to that passage in Exodus chapter 30. There's one verse especially I'd like to notice there. So Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. I'm going to read these few verses here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Now notice this is saying this is so these plagues don't come upon them. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. So it had a twofold purpose. One was simply to fund the tabernacle. The second was as a symbol of atonement. A shekel was silver, and silver is a type of redemption. So here we have everybody being required the same amount for atonement. And that's a type of the redeeming blood of Christ being the same cost for each one of us. Every one of us to make atonement, every one of us to be recovered from the plague of sin needs the blood of Christ. We need the same amount, every one. And that was the type of this half shekel tax. And it's specifically called there in verse 15. It says, an atonement for your souls. And it's the same amount for everybody. It takes the same amount of redemption for each one of us. So that was the temple tax, whereas the Roman tax was used for normal taxation purposes, infrastructure, military, as well as profit for the Roman Empire. Why did the Roman Empire go out and conquer so much land? It's because the more people that they had under them, the more money came rolling in, the richer they got. So part of the Roman tax was for profit. The Roman tax also used a different coinage, different money than what they used at the temple. There was the, if you remember when Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple, the temple had its own coinage. If you remember the story in Matthew 22, where they were tempting Jesus and said, should we pay tribute? Jesus said, whose image is on that coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. And he said, well, pay to Caesar that which is Caesar's. That was a different coinage than what was being used in the temple tax. So that's kind of the background of what was going on. And looking at the response here of Jesus, why was it different to the temple tax than it was to the Roman tax? Because when he was confronted with the Roman tax, he said, well, pay to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's. It very straightforward. But with this, he kind of scolded Peter. He said, why are you interested in paying this tax? Don't you know that the children are free? When we know that this tax was a type of Christ's redemption, it becomes a little more clear. Here was redemption itself presented to Peter. There was no longer any spiritual significance in paying this tax because redemption had come. The situation that they were put into here was simply a test of loyalty to the Jewish leaders. This wasn't because they were concerned about Jesus and Peter helping with the upkeep of the temple. And this specific temple would have been the temple that Herod built for the Jews. So it wasn't because they needed it to help with the upkeep of the temple. They were trying to test the loyalty of Jesus and his followers to the Jewish leaders. And Jesus was saying, let's look what the meaning is behind this. Are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, by my redemption, you are free. And as sons and daughters of God, our redemption was bought by the blood of Christ. We don't have to pay that tax ourselves. Yet, I find it intriguing that Jesus went ahead and paid it. He did something that was really unnecessary, but he said, so that we don't offend. He did it for the sake of those who didn't understand, who didn't comprehend the spiritual significance of this silver, didn't comprehend the spiritual significance, the fact that redemption had come. For their sakes, he said, we'll go ahead and pay this tax. They don't understand it yet. Let's not offend them. Let's not drive them away. It's also intriguing to me that he didn't pay for all the disciples. If he would have felt like the tax itself was significant, I believe that when Peter opened that fish, enough money would have come rolling out of there that he could have paid for everybody. But it wasn't. There was one coin, enough for Peter and Jesus, the ones who were in this situation. And that's also the way the redemption of Christ is for us. It's enough. It's enough for us. But we cannot give that redemption to someone else. Only Christ can give it to them. Only in that conversation that they have between themselves and Christ can they experience that redemption. Peter could not buy redemption for the rest of the disciples. Peter's response, you know, he had done this impulsive sort of thing here. But then he listened to the instructions that Jesus gave him, as strange as they seemed. Can you imagine? That must have been the most unusual fishing trip that Peter ever did. You know, maybe in comparison to the one where they brought in all those fish. But here he was just didn't send him out with a hook, with a net, see how many fish he could catch. Just with one hook. Go out there and then you catch this fish and you'll find some money in there. Do you think maybe Peter, this seasoned fisherman, felt a little bit foolish going down there to the pier? Wondering if, you know, everybody, oh, Peter, what are you doing down here today? Well, I'm going to do a little fishing, I guess. You know, if he kind of turned his back when he opened that fish's mouth, because that would have felt just a little bit silly. But he did it. Peter followed these unusual instructions because he had faith that Christ had a reason for doing what he did. Then I think of what the fish did. The fish have a response? The fish was just being a fish. It was doing normal fishy things, swimming around with his fish friends, doing what God designed it to do, swimming around in the sea. But God used that fish that was just being itself, that was just doing what God designed it to do. God used it to perform a miracle. And that's a lesson for me. God can use us simply doing our normal lives, doing what we're designed to do, which is to bring glory to God. God can use that to perform a miracle. God chooses to use us, and he doesn't just choose to use us when we think we're ready, when we're at a position that, okay, God, now I'm ready for you to use me. I feel on top of things spiritually. I feel like I'm ready to be an encouragement. I'm ready to help somebody. Now you can use me. No. God uses us at any time he chooses. If we are doing what God designed us to do, if we are living our lives to bring glory to him, God can use us. And he can use us in ways that we may not even know. The fish didn't know it was being used to perform a miracle. It simply was suddenly pulled out of its comfort zone and strange things were happening. And it didn't realize that it was part of a miracle. How many times do you think that happens to us? When we feel disrupted, when our schedule gets messed up, when we things don't end up the way we do, we talk to people that we didn't think we were going to talk to, or we some kind of interaction that just, oh, you know, that felt like such a disruption to my day. How many times do you think God was using you to perform a miracle? That God was using you in ways to further his kingdom that you may never know about until eternity. I believe that if we are going to be used of God and we're willing to be used, he'll use us and maybe never even tell us. Maybe it won't be till eternity that we'll find out that some of these things that we thought was just normal life was God using us to help other people. I also see that the fish was alive and active because nonchalant fish doesn't bite a hook. This fish was out there trying to do its fishy thing and find food or something. It was active, it was alive, it was moving. And that's the kind of people that God can use. Ones who are active. The fish wasn't doing anything super out of the ordinary. It was just being a fish. But it was an alive fish. It was doing what God designed it to do. There's an aqueduct that I read about in Spain that was built in 109 AD. So it was very old. And for 1,800 years, in an aqueduct, these ones, it was built by the Romans. They look like these huge arches spanning great valleys and ravines. And the top is just a channel. And it carries water from springs up in the mountains, uses gravity to bring it down to the towns. And they could actually have running water. And it was clear, cool water that came from the mountains down to the towns. And this one was used for 1,800 years until finally people said, you know what? This thing is amazing. It's still standing. It's still bringing us water. We need to make sure it's preserved. So they laid a bunch of pipe. They diverted the water. They sent the water down through pipes into the town, put in a pumping station, and put signs up that this is a Roman aqueduct built in 109 AD, and it became a tourist destination. And guess what happened? It started to fall apart because the mortar dried out where water had been running constantly. Now the sun was baking it. The stonework started to crumble. They had to launch a restoration effort, put it all back together because it wasn't being used, because it wasn't being active. It wasn't doing what it was designed to do. And that's a lesson for me. When I say, you know, I don't really want to be active. I don't want to be out there looking for a hook. I'd rather just back off. When we're not doing what God designed us to do, the same thing happens to us. We crumble spiritually. So in conclusion, there's no such thing as an unimportant person in the kingdom of God. He can use any fish, and he can use you. We may not find out the ways that we were used until eternity, but until then, let's be faithful. Let's be a person that God can use, because if God can use a fish, he can certainly use you.